Our Father in heaven, Lord, we ask that as we've come here into your presence, that your Holy Spirit is disseminated amongst us, that you lift us up to your throne, bringing us, Lord, close to you and speaking to our own hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us have grown up hearing a heartwarming song that's sung every New Year's Eve. It was given to us in the late 1700s by the renowned Scottish poet Robert Burns. It's called Auld Lang Syne. Though we may not know exactly what it is that we are saying when we sing it, we know that we are expressing a tender sentiment of remembrance. If you are unsure of what the words mean, I've written them up here on the board. I hope that the angles are a little difficult there, but I hope you can all see. The song begins with two questions. It starts, "Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and Auld Lang Syne?" Now, Auld Lang Syne, according to Webster's, is old Scottish language. It means literally, I've written it down here in the bottom, old long since. And it should be translated into modern English as either good old days or days of long ago. Old long since. Just as a way of helping us remember what was the intended meaning of this song, and because I do like to hear you sing, could we just sing that with the chorus and substitute the old Scottish with the translation there, days of long ago. Just join with me and do that. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of long ago? For days of long ago, my dear, for days of long ago, we'll take a cup of kindness yet, for days of long ago. Thank you. Now, is this just a foolish sentiment, or is there a spiritual value to this? There is a verse that I like to refer to from Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 6, verse 16. And it says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls." Over our little vacation, Leslie and I were walking one evening and we were talking about all of you and remembering some of our number who have passed on to their rest. We talked about how we miss them and how difficult funerals are. If you've been here a long time and you remember Jim Starbuck, I understand that if you did know him, you will understand why our little road out here is called Starbuck Circle. If you were here the day that we all showed up and we pitched this tent together, every man, woman, and child of this congregation, if you were here that day, then you'll remember that Don Hunter was more excited about it than all the kids were. It is good for us to embrace our memories of the people who helped us, the people who encouraged us. It lifts us up to cherish remembrances of times when Christ and his angels opened ways for us when everything seemed blocked. The text in Philippians that says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead," refers to our failings, to our sins, and moving forward as forgiven children of the living God. It does not mean that we forget those that we love, or moments when we recognized God's grace active in our life. We should hold memories of past joys and victories as in a cup and drink them in to give us courage and hope and to help us step boldly into the future. We cherish the past, we persist in the ancient path, and we march decidedly into the future. Charles Kettering once wrote, "The past is gone and static. Nothing we can do can change it. The future is before us and dynamic. Everything we do will affect it." This is the only planet in the entire universe where time is comprehended as we comprehend it, which is, time brings change, which is experienced in innovation, as well as in deterioration and death. We grow old. Our surroundings, our buildings, our bodies deteriorate, and then they return to the dust from which they were created. But this is a unique experience. It is not the norm for God's kingdom and God's universe. Only this planet, on this planet, does time bring change that results in a negative. Though the universe is dynamic and expands under the Creator's hand, God and His kingdom are a constant. God is the constant for this universe. I used a verse last week in our baby dedication of young James Mann from the book of James, if you'd like to look at that. James chapter 1, verse 17. I read it at the beginning of our scripture reading. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." I've always liked that verse. I've always pointed, though, to the first part of it, talking about every good gift, every good thing we have in this life, we're receiving from the Father. It's His mercy and grace shed on it. But the last part of that verse is just as important. God does not change. He says Himself, of Himself, in Malachi 3:6, "I, the Lord, do not change." I'm sure you're familiar with the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, which is just a few pages over. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. He says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day." It is not that God does not experience time. It is just that He does not change. Every day in our time is a constant positive with Him. There is no fear of the future because today or a day 1,000 years from now will be a constant positive with Him. Each day is a blessing. Each day is unique and something to be embraced and treasured. The call in Jeremiah to walk on God's ancient path is merely a call for us to join Him on His steady experience of eternity. Jesus helps us find that path, helps us find where it is. Now, you're probably already ahead of me on this, know exactly where I'm going, but look in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, verses 5 and 6. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Christ Himself is that ancient path. He is our way to peace and to eternity. Now ponder the implications of that reality for just a moment. If Christ is the way, the singular way, the singular path of life, then all other ways are nonsense. All other man-made ideas, theories, and concepts that exclude Christ are thus misinterpretations of the evidence. Christ only is the way, the truth, and the life. So then, here we all are. Followers of Christ, all here on this path together. What eventually will the record of our time and work together be? The Bible is full of records of God's people. Some of them are outstanding and some of them are painful. What will ours be? What I do know is that we are still here. Our record has not yet been written. There's an old verse that says, "There is a destiny that makes us brothers. No one goes his way alone. All that we send into the lives of others comes back into our own." Years from now, today, these days of our tabernacle experience will be days of Auld Lang Syne. Let's make them precious while we have them. Let's determine to make these days that we will look back upon as days when we were under Christ's very own direction, and we held together, and we accomplished something of value for the cause of God. And the memory of these things then will be made better because we went through them all together. 2007 was a big year, but we're about to end it and to file it away, just as we did with 1997 and 1977. The New Year holiday is a natural time for us to think about, to desire new beginnings, new commitments, and a renewed zeal. I would like us as a body to make a new commitment for 2008. It's our year. It's our year together to impact it as we will. We recognize moving forward that we have no Moses or Isaiah to lead us. There is no Peter or Paul. We have no Martin Luther or even an HMS Richards. Their time has passed. It's just us. Our brothers and our sisters all over this earth are in the exact same situation that we are. It's our time to carry the ball. It is our responsibility to go forward here with the eternal gospel, with the three angels' message over these next 12 months. And in the Lake Elsinore, Temecula Valley area, it's just us. But it's really not just us, is it? Because we have with us that constant. We have the constant of the same Lord who directed all previous generations and who led them to be here to lead us. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He's there. He's with us. Let's commit ourselves in our own hearts to accomplish something meaningful for the Lord in the coming year in our personal lives, in our personal work, and in our combined efforts as a congregation. Something ennobling, something uplifting, to advance the cause of Christ and to make a difference while we can in our generation, while it's still our time. And when our record is written, then God willing, it will be a record of faithfulness. Let's pray together. Lord, as Charles had prayed, we pray that You would wash us. We pray You would cleanse us and lift us up. It's You, Lord, that brushes off, that washes off the dirt of this world and the stains of rebellion, all the blemishes that are removed. And You ennoble us. You lift us up. You set us on a level ground that we can walk and we can do things for You that are unique and that are meaningful. And I pray, Lord, that You would take us, that You would use us, each in our own lives. Strengthen, Lord, the weak knees. Strengthen our resolve. Give us sound minds and strong arms to accomplish things, Lord, that are amazing in this world's eyes. Please bless us, Lord. Bless our families. Bless each home with your grace and your prosperity and with good health that we can accomplish all these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.